are listening to CFRO Community Radio Station. The upcoming show, Conscious Living Radio, is a program that explores frontiers of consciousness, spirituality, personal growth, emerging paradigms in psychology, health, science, and innovative philosophies that reflect commitment to the advancement of individual, social, and global transformation.
Welcome to the show. That's Shine, Vancouver's own Dij in the Middle East. You're listening to Conscious Living Radio. I'm Tasha Sims.
I'm Andrew Resmer.
And tonight, Jeffrey Armstrong. He's the founder of VASA, Vedic Academy of Sciences and Arts. He's also an award-winning poet, best-selling author of numerous books, including Spiritual Teachings of the Avatar, Ancient Wisdom for a New World. Jeffrey is a relationship expert, a philosopher, a practitioner, and teacher of the Vedas for over 40 years. He says he enjoys teaching the philosophy and lifestyle of yoga to Western practitioners. He's also a corporate speaker and consultant who's working to bring soul into the workplace and heart into the way we do business. He has an upcoming workshop called The Logic of Love and the Art of Compatibility. It's billed as the Ultimate Relationship Seminar in Vancouver. That's March 10th, March 11th, Level 1. And I believe Level 2 is coming up. We're going to hear all about that and talk about The Logic of Love, The Art of Compatibility. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Namaste.
So, I'm going to start with, what makes you a relationship expert?
It's the experience of the human condition with the desire to improve it for everyone.
But why relationship? Like, that's real clear in everything you do. You're trying to make things better. It's part of your mission. But what is it about relationship that drew you, or why relationship?
Because at the very nexus of what's going on, we're, I like to say, we're spiritual beings having a human experience. And so if you look around, part of our dilemma is we don't see all living beings as like ourself. And so a lot of people are a little confused and perplexed about who they're talking to. The beings in the animal bodies and the tree bodies and all of the creatures and humans and other beings we see around us are all here in the university. The universe mm-hmm. is mm-hmm. a university. Mm-hmm. They're fellow students. Mm-hmm. If we really saw that, wouldn't we look at each other quite differently?
So you're basically saying it's all about how we're relating and what we're perceiving and seeing.
And we're calling it other subjects and we're saying it's this and that.
Right.
But it's really because we don't get along that everything is so complicated.
Well, let's dig into that, because obviously there are shifts in perception that one could make that would support seeing sameness instead of difference. Do you have a sense of, if I was to ask you, what is the purpose of relationship? How would you answer that?
Well, it calls back to our purpose for being here, which is to gather experience of this world. Not because we made a mistake, took a wrong turn, were evil or sinful or fell. But according to the teachings coming out of the eastern quadrant of the planet, we're here on an adventure. And being here, we're here to learn through experience. And relationship, because someone else who is like myself challenges me to become the most interesting being I can be. So knowing about them is the ultimate course of study.
Mm-hmm. And what do you think the greatest challenges are? You said seeing difference would be clearly one of them. If you're seeing someone else as separate, that's going to lead to all kinds of difficulties. Are there some more that you can throw into that?
Well, actually, that isn't exactly what I said,
okay.
If I may correct.
Yeah, go ahead.
What I said is we have certain things in common with all living beings. And that commonality should be a platform from which we begin a relationship. In fact, that is what namaste means. It means I see you first as a conscious being who's immortal and cannot die, who's here on a grand adventure.
So isn't that the sameness piece? Isn't that the same? I'm not hearing what's different from what I'd said, which is...
Oneness is eliminating individuality, but sameness is something we have in common, but it doesn't eliminate individuality. In fact,
that's right.
Part of what drove me to do this is the philosophy that I follow says that our individuality is also immortal, and oneness doesn't erase it. And therefore, we're going to stay individuals forever.
Did you have a question there, Andrew?
I just wanted to go back to what you just said a minute ago when about the purpose of relationship. And you said, you know, this is a ride that we came on to have experiences and to learn. Why, though? What are we going to do with this learning and those experiences?
Great question. If you follow the thinking of many of the ancient thinkers, we're here learning to love because it is the exchange of love with our individuality that's going to be the currency of immortality. In other words, we're going to a party. And if you don't know how to behave, you're not welcome at the party. So we're learning etiquette.
By who?
By
who's the host?
By the beings. The host is, a host means a many beings.
Uh-huh.
It's called, you've heard it called the heavenly host, but I would use other words. But think of it as the immortal beings who've got good manners require good manners of those who come to play. And so we're here learning how to interact and get past the traps and pitfalls and actually learn to keep love in the foreground. So in the relationship seminar I teach, I say that soulmate is not a noun. It's a verb. It's soul mating.
Mm-hmm.
We're supposed to learn how to be on this evolutionary journey with each other and keep the higher purpose in the foreground. And when we lose it, we have wars and fights and divorces and lawyers and acrimony and hatefulness. And I love you turns into I hate you.
And the higher purpose is
lost.
To stay. Sorry?
It gets lost.
No,
in that
but
case.
I want you to identify it again in a really simple, concrete way.
It is to learn how to love and not let circumstance remove love.
Right. So that you believe then one could always be in that vibration of love no matter what's in front of you or what is going on.
Yeah,
that's a choice.
I'll put it in Texas terms for you. I have kinfolk in Texas. And down there they say that you should never get in a fight with an ugly person because they got nothing to lose.
What? What?
You never get in a fight with an ugly person because they have nothing to lose.
Oh, my God. I hate to be stupid. I don't get it. I really don't get it.
If you're fighting an ugly person,
yeah,
they have nothing to lose, but you do because you're still beautiful. But if you become like them by fighting with them, now you lost everything.
And so now you're ugly, too.
They had nothing to lose, and now you're ugly, too.
Okay.
So that's how I love you turns to I hate you. My choice whether I let love get turned to hate. Your choice whether you behave in a hateful way. My choice whether I take the bait and no longer love.
But you still didn't answer my question.
I did, actually.
Well,
because it's learning how to love in regardless of circumstance. So sometimes...
That's what I said. Is that it? No matter what's in front of you, that you can still stay in a state of love no matter what.
Yes, and act in that state according to the needs of the circumstance, but not have the love be destroyed.
Right. Right, so you're not talking about being a doormat or some sort of New Age version of lay down and,
or a bliss ninny any of the
above. Yeah, okay.
Talking about a very active, dynamic, in-the-game individual and who remains an individual, goes to higher states of understanding, both freedom and consciousness, and then still lives that way here with someone else. And the more intimate the relationship, the more it requires an equality between the people to sustain that state of being.
Oh, tell
as
me why.
A relation.
Why?
Well, because you're living together all the time, and all the time tested under every circumstance.
Oh, you're talking about proximity. You're talking about that as that's your definition of intimacy.
Well, circle of intimacy is proximity. If someone has access to me 24/7. That's pretty intimate.
Right. So the stakes, the ante goes up because you have more opportunities where you're.
And so is, so does what you could win or lose.
Right. Right.
And therefore, the challenge of relationship is just the ultimate form of human interaction and intimacy because it's 24/7.
Right. So you use the words the logic of love. What is logical about love?
Yes. And what's loving about logic? So one of the sayings I've made up is that the secret of life is to use what's left in your right brain and what's right in your left brain. So both logic and emotion are supposed to fall in love. They also are supposed to be in love. And therefore, logic is applied to things that are linear and have an algorithm and can be quantified. But quantification is part of living here, so you can't give up your logic to be in love. But on the other hand, love itself has a certain logic, which is to say your partner will be a work in progress like you are. So what if we're all a work in progress instead of perfect already? Then we're going to be putting up with somebody else's work in progress, and they're going to put up with ours. This is a learned skill set. Our parents didn't teach us this.
There's lots they missed.
There's lots. And our culture's elders haven't been mm-hmm. helping us with this. Mm-hmm. Back to university, and even what we call education is piling information on top of us, but it isn't really teaching us even to relate. Mm-hmm. And my entire schooling in K through 12 and then university, no teachers taught me how to be a human. They just piled information on me. And most of them were dysfunctional mm-hmm. humans hiding it.
Mm-hmm. How about, let's get into then this idea of compatibility. Because you say there are five levels of compatibility, and I'm curious how we use them to choose a healthy relationship. Mm. Is that something you're going to touch on in the seminar?
Very much. It's very much at the core of the seminar.
So let's give them, we don't want to give them everything, but I'd love to give them.
Oh, yes, we do.
You do. I'd love to give our listeners a taste so that they'll come and get excited about it. Sure. What? Tell us about these five levels or a couple of these
levels.
I'll
tell them everything right now if we can stay here for 2.5 days with bathroom breaks.
We could. We could barricade the door. We're done.
We're done.
Yeah.
We're doing
takeover.
This once and for
heart
all.
Heart takeover.
It's the ultimate relationship radio show. It only happens once.
That would be very intimate. 20,
be there.
2.5 days in the close proximity. I don't know if you can handle that.
I already feel sorry for you.
I've got chocolates. We're good. We've got chocolates and water. What else?
Hey. Love.
And love.
So let's back up one step more and say that implicit in the idea that we are divine beings who have no beginning and no end is the fact that we've been on a long journey already, and that there's no such thing as punishment, but there is such a thing as cause and effect. So here's the first thing to know. The whole universe is running on cause and effect, which is not punishment.
Mm-hmm.
But what you do follows you around. There's an old saying in India that a person's deeds follow them and find them the way a baby calf finds its mother in a herd of 1,000 cows.
Mm-hmm.
They come find us. So we're actually partnering in any relationship with someone's past as well as their potential to create a future. And, of course, what they are in the present. So that can be put into categories.
Hmm.
And one of those categories is that we are all, we got here tonight in our automobile. So in Latin, auto means self, and mobile means to move around. This car is our automobile.
Mm-hmm.
And so just imagine if somebody's a Volkswagen, and that's what they are, and they decide to marry a pickup truck. Hell or high water, doesn't matter what comes of it, I'm going to marry that pickup truck. Damn, I like that pickup truck. And so we strap those two vehicles together, and they go everywhere together. So the Volkswagen gets destroyed when we go off-road, and the pickup truck gets bored because we're not carrying dirt or other things or bales of hay. And you think that's a compatible relationship on the level one, on the physical level? I don't think so.
So you're saying the Volkswagen needs to find a Volkswagen?
Well, I'm saying that each vehicle, if it's going to do its full range of activities, needs to be partnered with a similar vehicle, or else it has to be happy not to be used about 3/4 of the time. If you get the ratios too wrong, somebody's not being what they're supposed to be.
And you believe that this you can look at this scientifically. Is that what I'm sensing?
Yeah, it's actually not a belief, because it's been done for tens of thousands of years in India, and it's called body types. There are types of bodies that can be classified and understood.
Okay, I see what you're doing.
And those types of mm-hmm. bodies aren't going to change because you love somebody.
Okay, so let's dig into that. Tell us about the body types and which are compatible with which. Could you do that?
But that's to give
that's
away all the
days.
Secrets. That's
no, but that, now
that's
I get
a,
you. Now I'm on the wavelength,
two,
so this is what I want to know.
That's at least a couple of hours. It's actually a 2-day seminar.
How about one example? Pick one of the body types and talk about how if it was with the wrong one, here's what would happen.
All right. Well, let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
If a gazelle fell in love with a tiger when they were young and then married, what would it look like when they grew up?
Same like truck and Volkswagen.
Roadkill.
Roadkill for sure. It's not, who's going to be the victim? Who's going to get blamed for everything?
Oh, boy.
uh-oh.
Okay.
We're in trouble. No, wait. A gazelle and an elephant.
But what if they were conscious gazelles and elephants?
Then hopefully they'd be smart enough not to get married.
Or they could rise above all those triggering
and
reactive bits and not eat each other.
And the gazelle could learn to eat meat, and the tiger could learn to be a vegetarian.
Right, from their differences. And
they could change their intestinal tract and file their teeth down.
It's a lot of work.
Who knows?
Okay, it's a lot of work.
Well, it wouldn't just think of it this way. In order to get a driver's license, it takes about 6 weeks training, unless you come from another country and you're bribing people. But I digress.
Or not.
But as a matter of fact, it doesn't take any time to get a marriage license. So that's scary. I call it a gender bender.
Okay, but don't leave the body types.
I'm not.
Okay.
That's what's bumping into each other. That's where you bend the fenders. The fenders are in the body. So the body type creates a disposition. So this is the secret.
Right.
Body-mind link means what the body is defined by, its characteristics, carry up into the mental states and emotional states. And as a result, if it was just a body, it's easier to transcend. But there's a psychological profile that goes with the body. That's why you got it.
Mm-hmm.
You got the race car because you have a race car mindset also.
Right.
And so it's not just the body, but the body and the mindset of the driver and the intention of the car that start colliding.
So,
of course, it's called the Ayurvedic body type. This is the basis of the medical system of India, which is Ayurveda.
And if you are conscious on some level,
which we're hoping for.
Now, I don't mean just conscious as opposed to unconscious. Right. I mean awake. If you're awake to what you're, to your differences. I mean, seriously, I know we're laughing about the animals, but I'm talking about a human being with a completely different body type that goes into their mental and their emotional. You're completely different. One is fire, one is water, whatever it is. Yeah. But with a commonality in intention, and being awake, could that not work? Or are you really saying that you don't believe that's a good idea?
Well, you're also arguing that there are four more levels, and I agree with you. But remember, we're not going to do them all here. And so, yes, there are other levels from which we can affect everything. And on each of those levels, we need to have skill sets and capabilities. But wouldn't it be interesting if we found someone with whom we had true compatibility on all five levels?
Sure.
Sure. No, wait.
She doubts.
I just don't think it's easy.
I don't think it's actually good.
Well, to have compatibility.
It's not good at all.
I understand. He likes the stressful
method
of collision.
No, what I like is growth.
Any experience in that?
A lot. That's why.
Good.
That's why I'm arguing.
Of course. And that could be useful. But if the person doesn't like arguing, I happen to.
I just don't want to date a copy of me in a different gender.
I agree. And therefore, if they're just the same as you, where's the tension?
Exactly.
That's right.
There's no tension, and there's no growth.
So you've got another component of this, which is, as I said, we're here to grow. So it's not a photocopy of you that you're getting.
Good. Okay. Now
it's someone who rolls with you on all the levels of your being. Mm. And most of the time, now this is where I'm going to back up a little and say, remember we said our mom and daddy didn't teach us this stuff. Latchkey kids, watching them have a divorce and worse. 60% has been the number for some time now. We have generations of people, not only who haven't been taught this, but who've really had a hard time because of it, who've watched it blow by blow, if I may say. And as a result, the question here is, what can we do to foresee the obstacles and to extrapolate from certain behaviors and know how the person will behave under stress? And how can we take advantage of this freedom we have in our culture? You notice we're pretty free here in many places. Marriage is a sudden death overtime. You do it once or you're out. You only have one chance. And so what I'm going to share with you is in those societies, 60% or more of your success comes from societal agreement. And that's why our culture is in such big trouble, because we threw the whole safety net of social agreement out. and of social conformity. But in many societies, you're 60% of who you are just by following the taboos of your society and doing what everyone else is doing, in which case you only have 40% to deal with in your compatibility. Here, we don't have that social uniformity. In fact, most big cities are like the United Nations, truly on drugs. And as a result, everyone's alone in the big city because there's no social format that's similar between them. And as a result, we don't have 60% or 50% or even 40% of compatibility with people from other cultures. We have zero. We have maybe 10% on a good day. We have to earn the rest. So this seminar arose as an emergency response to our modern world, not only having no elders who could help us with this, but not having a uniform culture that we could rest upon. So I'm going to say to you, it's the 80-20 rule. If 20% of the time things don't work, you're at the top of your game.
Right.
If you expect more than that, you're just unrealistic. So just attribute 20% to being in the material world and things break and things go wrong, and you're not in control of everything. But let's say you could control 60 to 80%. From now on, where we are, you can't rest on society and say, I'm just this way, that's what my tribe does. And if you think so, if you go join a tribe, if you become a Mormon, no disrespect to anybody, if you go become a Mormon right now in Salt Lake City, they will buy you a couple of years' food, put it in your closet, they will find you a job. As long as you keep going to church and doing everything you're told, they'll find
you. That's right, but you got to keep doing what you're told.
Exactly, you got to stay in the tribe and do what the tribe says. And that covers you 50% of the time.
And you're saying that's good?
No, I'm saying if you don't choose that, you have to do all that by yourself. But nobody's doing it. They do it without knowledge. They don't go get 50% more knowledge. They do the whole game blind. And if you do the whole game blind and pull out the 50% your tribe used to do, I guarantee you'll fail. Money back guarantee. You will fail.
And that's what lifetime guarantee.
Yeah. Well,
more than money.
Well, I don't. Okay, so I'll disagree. I don't know if it's a guarantee of failure.
Look around.
So much. Well, no, but I'm not going to talk globally. I'm going to make it personal because then I can feel certain. If I talk globally, you can. I know you'll argue me into the ground. I can see it already. You win.
So you see what it would be like to be partnered with me.
Yeah, I can just totally see it. Brave woman.
Yeah.
But when I talk about myself, you know, it's, you can't. I mean, you can say whatever you have an opinion about what I'm saying, but you can't tell me that that's not my experience because it is.
No, I didn't say yours.
That's why I'm going to personalize. Yes, I know, and I'm about to get personal.
Exceptions. We can see that.
No, let me get personal because I really want an answer to this question. I want to know what you think of it, because I'm not agreeing that it necessarily. I think it's harder to do on your own. I understand what you're saying about having this tribe, having mentorship. Oh my God, how wonderful that would be to be to understand this component and be supported in it. Okay, we don't. However, on your own, or what I feel I've done without the tribe, is broken it down in terms of compatibility to really one essential piece. And maybe I'm wrong in terms of longevity, but I don't think so. And that piece is when there is an upset of any sort. You have your upset, I have my upset. Where do you look for an explanation? And anything other than inside as an answer, this I'm giving you my dating 101.
Mm.
Anything other than inside, I'm just like, hey, nice person, see you later.
I should go to your seminar.
No, but do you understand what I'm saying? Like, to me,
I do.
That piece, then it's the beginning foundation. Mm. Otherwise, I can't deal with yours. Otherwise, it's all so
confusing.
And
I did speed ahead a little, but I am saying you're the exception. And from an evolutionary perspective, you already are, because you're already sophisticated and developed enough in your faculties that you're using those faculties to deflect many of the situations that most people can't. And those are learned skills, and you've learned them in previous lives and in this life. And therefore, you came into this situation endowed with skills that you're sort of taking for granted. But actually, not everyone has those, so they're all learned skills unless you brought them in. In which case, the things you're saying are indeed part of the learned skills of the ultimate relationship. And what people need to learn when they come into the seminar turns out to be different for each person. And many of these things are the skills they should have learned either at home or in school. And yet our society is not geared toward teaching this at any level.
Right.
Partly because with no disrespect again, religions have wanted to control people and keep them inside their own circle. And they've sort of been saying, we've got this covered. And that may be true if you stay inside the tribal boundary. But if you step out and try to do this, then don't try that alone, because that requires extra skills, all kinds of interpersonal skills, levels of psychological understanding, emotional skills, intellectual skills, adjustments during stressful situations.
And that's why it's so hard to find in another person, because you're saying it's not common.
Yes, and right? I would bet that you have trouble finding someone to live with that is truly your equal at the stage of evolution you're at. And that, I rest my case, that you're having a wonderful relationship with yourself, and you could teach this to others automatically at various levels, because you do know it. But how do you find that person that's currently not available when the numbers are so small? So some people get the end of the ultimate relationship and they say, well, thanks for that. Before I thought I probably wouldn't find anyone. Now I'm sure. But that's because they've taken it negatively. And they're thinking, oh, no, I'll never find someone like that. Ah, but now you know how to, don't you? Whether or not you're at the evolutionary stage where you can't find very many humans that are just like you, there's an old saying, the higher you climb the mountain, the smaller the circles will be. So right now, depending on your circle of evolution, there's that many people on the planet that you would be compatible with for a living.
Right.
And maybe it's 1,000, maybe it's 10,000, maybe it's 1,000,000. Depends on your school grade. I said the same thing from curriculum. You'd get it. You'd go, oh, I see what you mean.
Yeah.
So there's not enough in it for you to partner with someone and live with them at home all the time unless they're reciprocating with you reasonably on enough levels. Welcome.
No, been there, got that T-shirt, not interested.
My point. So you learned through somehow Hard Knocks or School of Knocks or whatever, Fort Knox.
Yes.
But, all the above.
Which this whole part of the conversation started because you said it's doomed for failure, and I'm saying, no, I don't think so. I think it's just hard work.
Look at me. I live alone, but I'm happy with it.
No, I think it's, I mean, to me, it's how do you turn finding the one into finding yourself? And so it's not even a chore. It's
you're a poster child for the ultimate relationship. You're just missing the language and a few of the skill sets, because that's the point. That's why you're on the radio show here hosting it, because you know enough to be dangerous.
Watch out, the knife's coming now.
No, not at all. The compliment is coming. And therefore, that means that there's a special kind of person that would turn you on. Day after day after day. Turn on doesn't just mean sexuality. It means excited to see you each morning. And so if you found someone who could share your pillow with you and you'd wake up each morning and look at each other and go, you're still here. Wow. Then you would have become a professional human relationship expert. So at the high end of this, you'll realize that if you can't find what you're looking for, you're okay with yourself.
Right. So that part I get. I don't see how that. I don't think that it needs to be outcome oriented. It'd be lovely,
right?
And it doesn't stop the curriculum, whether there's an actual body there beside you or not.
No,
if you stay in the game
but
of it,
since we're talking about relationship, that does matter. If we were talking about individual being fine, that's a different seminar, and I do teach that one.
Okay.
I teach that one first. And in fact, one of the levels of this ultimate relationship is that if you don't bring that to the relationship, what's the chances of success? Less. Because you don't know how to be happy with self. And therefore, you don't know how to keep steady in that when things get bumpy between people.
Right.
But you see, this is at a higher level. This is something we could learn then with every human being and start behaving that way everywhere. So in the other seminars and other knowledge that I teach, those are the deeper levels of understanding one goes to. But there's a certain minimum of that affects how relationships work. I'll give you one simple example. What does that mean in sports?
Time out.
In the relationship seminar, there's something called the three gunas, and the gunas are the states of our being. We're either getting plunging into darkness, we're in selfishness and only thinking about ourselves, or we're in a more enlightened state and we're thinking of ourselves and the good of all. So the lowest one is called tamas. And tamas is present when you start to quarrel in a hurtful and destructive way, when a disagreement starts to get really hurtful and you keep going, you're about to say something that may not be able to be forgiven. The old saying is, an enemy is created when you say something that cannot be forgiven. So before you get to that point, if you're in a loving relationship, you go,
time out.
Time out. Let's soften our
voices. We're going to take a quick little time out here, play a little more, I think, some Sacred Fire. You're listening to Conscious Living Radio 100.5 FM in Vancouver. We're speaking with Jeffrey Armstrong. We'll be back in a minute. Yatapile tatramani. Yatapile tatramani. Yatapile tatramani. Yata pinde tatramandi. 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 Listening to Conscious Living Radio 100.5 FM in Vancouver. I'm Tasha Sins.
Mandra Resmer.
And you're listening to The Universe Within, Sacred Fire, Vancouver's own. And we're speaking tonight with Jeffrey Armstrong, a very spirited interview, I might add. We're talking about the logic of love, the compatibility of love. You've got a seminar coming up March 10th and 11th?
Yes, 9 to 5.
So tell us more about that. I want to make sure that we cover for our listeners what they could expect if they came.
Well, let's just say that this is a kind of next-level training for human beings, whatever kind of relationship you're trying to perfect. For some people, perhaps they're trying to become an ambassador or an international sales representative, and they have to go all over the world and adjust to different environments and people. They would benefit greatly from it because it would give them a new set of observational skills and practical skills for relationship. So at its essence, it's human relationship.
Okay. So singles and couples?
Singles, couples, and anyone of any description, including this whole thing that has happened in our societies, that people's gender specificity has become a trauma for them, would not happen in a culture that sees everyone as a divine being first, and sees a second thing, which is the male and female divine, and then sees us as divine beings, and sees the archetype of the male and female in each one of us. Mm-hmm. So the beauty that the feminine embodies isn't just a gender specificity. It's an image of divinity, or it's half of divinity. So the Eastern model coming out of India depicts a masculine and feminine divine who are equals, as we would hope to be in an equals relationship. And so each one of them is teaching us about an aspect of divinity. Mm-hmm. When we see the beauty of each other in gender that way, or the people in between that, then we're no longer harshly and in a hurtful way prejudicial against them in any way, because we're in a material body which approximates the ideal but isn't ideal. Mm-hmm. So there's no ideal male or female here, but we're all in the image of male and female beauty.
And would you say that we equally, regardless of gender, can access masculine energy or feminine energy, divine energy?
Well, on an ideal level, of course. On the practical level, we have a limitation by having a physical body, and that is why our ideals sometimes are conflicted with our body. A good way I can tell you this is, it's a well-known fact that when a male, first of all, everyone is female first, so that's a fun thing to remember. In the womb, everyone's female till the third month, and masculinity mm-hmm. differentiates mm-hmm. only because the mother downloads the first one quarter of testosterone that is needed to make a male child. So then the genital differentiates. Later on, a few months later, she'll download the three quarters rest of the testosterone that reformats the mind as masculine. If she doesn't have that testosterone, then the child is born with a masculine genital and a feminine mind.
Hmm.
And this is a physiological fact. So it's nobody's fault if they're born in somewhere in between, which really everyone is, mm-hmm. in some mm-hmm. shade of that, then it's not at all right for society to be prejudicial against them, but rather say to them, do the best you can with what you have, and don't worry about your definition. We're not worried about it. We see you as a divine being in a particular body, so make the best of the situation.
Hmm.
But remember, there is a male and female archetype, but that's different, because they don't have to make a material body. But making a material body is complicated. Well, this is part of relationship, too. We bring our material body into the relationship. And sometimes relationships are complicated because our relation with our body is full of tension.
Mm-hmm.
Having a body
and shame,
is not
often shame.
Sometimes shame, sometimes tension, sometimes difficulties physically that we don't even know about. And we bring those into all our relationships. So relationship requires compassion, wisdom, learning, practical skills about life. It also requires values. And values are a very important part of relationship that are easy to overlook while we're looking first at our chemistry and other and the things we like and like to read and like to do. But value system is also a part of the compatibility.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have the wrong value system, or if you do have a religious viewpoint and that's not the same in a way that's compatible, there's so many traps of compatibility that people fall into in a moment of excitement over another being.
Mm-hmm.
So it should be clear that all beings are lovable intrinsically. So falling in love shouldn't be difficult.
Mm.
But what you do about falling in love should be very carefully thought out.
Do you think that chemistry, in the typical definition, is something that can grow, or it's instantaneous? Do you think we know, we have the ability to know, or it's something that can grow? Andrew's smiling because I know his answer on this one.
We only talked about it 10,000 times.
10,000 and one now.
No one now.
Well, it's an interesting question, obviously. But a little bit of both are true, and it depends on the individual's chemistry set, because every chemistry set is different. So, in fact, one of the things we know we do as Olympic athletes, or when we learn a skill to an advanced level, is we overcome normal limitations. So some human beings are capable of overcoming limitations much more than others are.
Hmm.
So some are driven by chemistry, and it is what it is, and it's not going to change. But if someone is very intensely transforming themselves and has learned skills which allows them to do so, then there's a leeway in the chemistry set. How much? Quite debatable. And it's certain, the body types are based on the notion that certain root chemistry will prevail in the long run. And there's another element of this is quite interesting. The feminine, in general, is made to have an instant chemical response to a possible mate because she's going to carry the baby. So her protection is she's when you're hot, you're hot. When you're not, you're not.
Right.
So what, when you say, when a man says to a woman, what turns you on? That's two questions. Her response should be when.
Right.
That's not a masculine answer. That's a feminine answer. There's just subtleties.
Mm-hmm.
So the question is, do you speak the language of the opposite gender? Or do you not? Because if you haven't taken the trouble to really learn their language, how do ladies feel about sharing something with a man and then he gives them advice?
Well, it's, yeah, that's obviously... let's say masculine, feminine, as opposed to ladies and men, because I bet...
Sure.
Right?
Masculine, feminine.
Yeah.
I'm fine with that. But I'm showing an archetype and a stereotype.
Right.
It's not always true, but it's from chemistry.
Mm-hmm.
If you say something to a man and he interprets it as a problem, he'll try to solve the problem.
Mm-hmm.
And if what you wanted was someone to share your feeling with... You don't want advice. It makes you feel incompetent.
Mm-hmm.
What you want is someone who's a listener and a good listener and hears what you're saying. Now, some of that's chemistry and some of that's a learned skill.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a little bit of both in this. How far you can push your chemistry set, again, that's a learned skill. But then there's a physical limitation also.
Okay.
Let's switch the conversation and talk a little bit more about the content of the... We call it seminar. Is it seminar or workshop? I had an opportunity to participate in Ultimate Relationship. It was either 1,000 years ago or previous millennium, one of those.
I think so.
Yes, at least. And over those years, I'm sure the core will remain the same, but there's lots of new things that you're adding. So give us a kind of curriculum that our listeners would be exposed to if they decide to join you for this weekend.
Yes. Certainly, all work and no play makes Jack a dull boy. And yet, seminar retention is very important. So there's a learning component that's hugely important for people. And we interweave it with practices and exercises and activities with each other. But what we do not do is have people tell their story and go through all of the cleansing of their past. We expect people to have fairly well gotten that under control before they come. Because it's more to learn new skill sets and go home with those as active skill sets that they can apply right away to finding and keeping and developing and perfecting relationships. So it's not as much to tell your story and clear your story and tell it in front of everyone. That has its place. And we recommend people to do that before they come to the ultimate.
Mm-hmm.
But once they come, they should be there for some more serious learning and practices that will actually take them to the next level of their relationship practice.
Mm-hmm. But still, I would like to get a little bit more juice. What specifically, how you're going to teach, what are you going to teach, what kind of exercises or activities listeners are going to be exposed to? For someone who has never been to a workshop or seminar of this type and they don't know what to expect, now you said what you're not going to do. You're not going to shrink them, you're not going to fix the relationship, you're not going to tell who is right, who is wrong. That's not going to happen. What is going to happen?
Well, what is going to happen is they're going to be able to utilize what they learn in the seminar immediately to begin evaluating human beings. You notice the word that everyone's afraid to use is judgmental and prejudice. But the reason those words are problematic is that we haven't first been seeing each other as divine beings. Secondly, we haven't known how to see their physical being correctly and understand its categories and nature. And so these different levels are about that. If you have a car and I can talk about you as a person, your wardrobe, and your car, all as separate, then it'll be easy for us to do. If they're all lumped together and hypersensitive and you can't talk about any of it without it being me, that's very problematic. Mm-hmm. So by the time they leave the seminar, they'll, I would like to say, be professional human beings who can go into any situation of human interaction and stay calm and analyze the situation and be pretty good at understanding the level of functioning of the person that they're talking to. I mean, a university means part of our problem is we don't know who we're talking to, and we don't learn how to listen and find out who we're talking to. And therefore, we don't behave appropriately to the grade level. In school, you'd know this. If you were with third graders, you'd talk to third graders. Mm. And you'd talk appropriately to them, and fourth and fifth and sixth. But really, this is a training that most human beings have not had. They may have some of it intuitively. But the more you know this, the more appropriate everything you do will become. And then if you have real skills to understand the nature of the person, you'll begin applying those at work and in all the environments. So though we think of it as leading toward finding an ultimate partner, in fact, it'll be used the most in all the activities interacting with other beings in life. Do you remember in the film Avatar when Jake went out into the forest and he had a weapon, and when the creatures came at him, he just shot them? And then his female friend showed him, watch, look, and she talked to them. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So what you get through this seminar, both by practical learning and by theoretical learning, is skills you take back out into the world, and it changes the game. It changes the way you interact. Mm. It buys you time in all human situations, and it makes you a professional. You evaluate the situation much more precisely and professionally.
It sounds like a map almost of knowing whether what you're going to choose and what getting information, a way to get information when you meet a person.
It is. Right? I'll give you a simple example. There's a film playing right now on Netflix that's really quite useful. It's called The Gut Brain. Hmm. And it shows that in our gut, we have as many brain cells, the equivalent of brain cells, as a dog. Hmm. So your gut has the brain capacity mm-hmm. of the average dog. So this is the gut brain. Then there's the head brain, and then there's the heart brain. So this is a distinction that we also make so that people know which brain to use in which situations. Just that one method right there mm-hmm. makes a huge difference mm-hmm. in understanding mm-hmm. what you're talking to.
And in picking a romantic partner, do you want all three brains on board? Do you need all three brains on board?
And that's the perfect question. It depends on what you want them for. If it's a spirited night of sex and everyone will go blink the next morning, then right. it's the gut brain.
But if you're into evolution and growing together at the highest level, then yes, right?
You have to get everything online.
Right.
So when you hear the seminar, what happens is it helps you look at yourself objectively and then have a plan to fill in the blanks, rather than just feel deficient. So it doesn't make you feel negative. It makes you feel like you can develop the undeveloped area. Mm-hmm. So it's very user-friendly that way. And at the same time, it doesn't re-traumatize the person. And it takes them to a new story past the old stories. And it gives them a set of tools. So I like to think of it as them becoming professional people. Mm-hmm. And I'll give you one example. One practice that I do is I teach anyone who's having any people difficulties to first take the seminar, then make it a point to go to trade shows of all kinds, and at those trade shows, talk to as many people as possible. Make sure you're at a show you're interested in, so now you don't have to worry about whether you're there for interest. And then go 12 hours a day for 3 days or 2 days and talk to every single person. Don't skip anyone. Mm-hmm. Now you're training to be a human being. Most people have a small circle of people. There was a street event on Main Street near where I live a few months back, and everyone was out, and vendors were out, and they were walking around, and they didn't look at anyone. As I walked by, I could see them look away, whether in groups or alone, and I made up a term. What they were doing was taking their bubble for a walk. They weren't out there to meet people.
Instead of their dog.
Yes. Because their dog was busy. So they took their bubble. It's just a few people bigger than their relation with their dog. Mm. So the sad truth about human beings is if they haven't had training, they fail. And in public, it's easy to fail. But if you go to a trade show where everyone wears the same badge, then you're compatible. Now, this is a very interesting
thing. That's your tribe now. Your momentary tribe.
You got it. Yeah. It's your momentary tribe. You're comfortable and safe. And when the person says hello and says something about the show, they're not trying to be too invasive into your personal self. And it gives you room to play.
Yeah.
If you play like that often enough, after a while you become a player. Mm-hmm. You know now how to do this. So then we're looking to find out with us, let's say you have a 25-pin connector for your computer, and that 25-pin connector is the optimum behavior of the device that you're plugging in. What happens if 10 of those pins get broken? You only get 15 pins of productivity out of the device. So what if you could have a 25-pin connection with another being? And what if a little light inside of you told you how many pin connection you were having?
Wow.
See?
Oh, yeah, handy tool. I'd buy it.
Exactly.
Let me have one of those.
That's it.
Yeah.
And so if you teach it this way, you don't try to tear into the person's psyche. You don't try to reopen old wounds and change their story immediately.
Right.
Just give them new skills. Make them a trained individual in being a human being. Give them some confidence. And by level three in our relationship seminar, they're feeling like professionals. I'll tell you one funny thing, and then you can say that we had one fellow who went about seven times to the seminar. He really loved it.
And I think that's a good, important component that for those listeners who decide to come, you have something called audit that you can keep coming back, right?
Yes.
That's important. That's why this
for
person...
For a fraction of the original
that's
price.
That's for the fraction of the cost.
Yes. So, and he, seventh time, and finally he did a testimonial. He said, well, I just want to tell you, I've done this about seven times, and I haven't found the ultimate partner yet, but I've saved a lot on alimony.
Millions. What's the size of the group? Do you have a cutoff in terms of numbers?
Yes, we won't let it get any bigger than 25 or so.
So it's fairly intimate?
It's always intimate.
Where is it going to be?
It's in our home.
Where is that?
That's at Main and another street.
So in town?
I'm just kidding. Main and 17th.
In town,
yes,
then?
In town,
and the
in a
hours.
Beautiful environment, and 9 to 5. And we have breakfast in the morning that we share, a continental breakfast, and then we provide a lunch. And so it's quite
interesting. And since I've been to those amazing events, even if you learn nothing, the lunch is worth the price.
And well, the company, because you're with interesting people.
Well, I love this tool. I mean, I think you've described it really well, and it sounds like it would just to, you know, human beings are confusing if you're trying to figure them out and they're not like you. I mean, that's just, you know, that's a lot of work to try to understand someone else's psyche. Sure. So what you're talking about is having an internal way of checking for yourself, is this a fit? Does this work, right?
Yes.
So my question is, at the seminar, will people be able to practice these tools? You're going to give them the information, the knowledge. Will they practice with each other? Is
yes,
that
they
part
do.
Of it?
Yes, they do. And they do homework, and they practice developing their own examination of the five levels of compatibility, and we talk it out together, and they refine their approach and the language they use. It would be no different than if you were branding a product and then trying to learn how to talk about it to the marketplace. Those are practiced skills.
It's like the nuances of it.
And there's a practiced skill in doing this. Mm. So they learn those practiced skills by role modeling in the seminar. And there's even a wonderful bowing exercise we do where you learn how to show real love and respect to another human being that you don't know. And there's a heart hug practice that we show how to have a hug that goes to the heart and doesn't displace the other emotions in the body. Mm-hmm. So there's some beautiful practical connecting experiences that we also have.
So for more information and to register for the workshop, you can go on consciouslivingradio.org. And if you go there after 8 tonight, so 1 hour from now, you will be also able to receive a free gift from Jeffrey, ebook titled Life Without Fear. In literally less than a minute, if you could tell us, Jeffrey, why they should read this book.
Most of the anxiety that people are experiencing and the pain comes from inner conflicts that are in the mind-body relationship. And just as we talked about the three brains, so this book uses the three brains to describe how to overcome fear at the levels on which we experience it. And when that happens, a great deal of our overreactiveness that causes inappropriateness in every relationship is really rooted in states of fear and unrest and imbalance. And when you learn to remove those, then you actually remove a tremendous obstacle to all satisfactory living, really. And you don't need to take pharmaceuticals anymore for pain because the pain was being self-generated.
Right.
Beautiful. Well, thank you so much, Jeffrey. And I was hoping and planning to ask you to recite some of your amazing poetry that you create. But unfortunately, we only have 2 seconds left, and I don't think you have a poem.
A 2 second
that is
poem?
That, short.
Two words that are the
love,
ultimate poem.
Love, love, love.
Three words. Perfect.
Love, love, love. I've heard that somewhere before. Love, love, love.
Thank you so much.
Thank
for
you
joining
both.
Us.
It was a joy. Thanks. Bye-bye.
We've been speaking with Jeffrey Armstrong. You're listening to Conscious Living Radio, 100.5 FM in Vancouver, Co-op Radio. Good night.
You have been listening to Conscious Living Radio. For free show downloads, additional information about our guests and topics, or details about upcoming programs, check us out at consciouslivingradio.org.